Well, today, this evening, I'd like us to look at together the parable of the good man of the house. The parable of the good man of the house. And it is Matthew chapter 24. And we'll in particular be looking at verses 42 to 44. Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44. So, our Lord says to us, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Amen. So here Jesus speaks the parable of the good man of the house. And of course, it's a short parable, as many of the parables are. But the meaning of it is quite surprising. Now, always remember, and this is true for any minister that stands behind the pulpit, Acts 17:11. They heard the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we're all to be students of the word. So, let's begin firstly with verse 42. Jesus here is speaking to the disciples. And he begins by saying, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now, notice that word, therefore. Jesus' command to watch is accordingly to what he has already said to the disciples in the chapter. So I'd like to firstly look at what Jesus said. In verses 4 to 31, Jesus there tells the disciples what things shall come to pass leading up to his second coming and to the end of the world. It seems to me that as time goes by, people are going to want to know what's going on. We're seeing things in the world now. We're seeing this thing with Russia and Ukraine. We've seen pestilence, such as the coronavirus. There's been famines. And people are going to want to know answers. And at some point, they're going to come to us. Now, when the coronavirus pandemic first started, and of course there's all sorts of views on that, we were putting videos out online at the church. The first video that went out had 2,000 views, and the main church service had 5,000. People wanted to know what was happening. Now, brethren, I believe we need to know and have the answers because people are going to want to know. And if we don't have the answers, I know where they're going to go. Conspiracy theories. That's not to say that there's truth or some truth in them. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the answers, and we need to be prepared and ready so that when they come, we'll be able to supply them the answers and point them to Jesus. That is what it's all about. So Jesus, in Matthew 24, He speaks of the things that shall come to pass, leading up to his second coming and to the end of the world. And then in verses 32 to 35, Jesus illustrates seeing all these things come to pass in the parable of the fig tree. So I'd just like to read that. Jesus says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So we see here the things that Jesus spoke of that would come to pass. And when we see them, we know from Luke 21 verse 31 that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. This, brethren, is the gospel of the kingdom. These are the things that are going to happen. And when you see them, know Jesus is coming. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And the question is, are we ready for that kingdom when Jesus comes? And this is a cause for repentance. And this is the gospel of the kingdom that shall go out, we read in Matthew 24. So we know when these things happen that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Now the Lord goes on to say that no man knows of that day and hour in which he shall come. In verses 36 to 41, brethren, Jesus says this, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left." So no man knows of that day and hour. Even the angels in heaven don't know. Only the Father in heaven knows. So if we turn our attention to what did happen, we'll understand what's going to happen, as it was in the days of Noah. It was life as usual. People were unaware of the impending danger that God had warned them. He hadn't left the people without a witness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, we read. But we know something. That flood really did happen. And many of those people, except eight that went onto the ark, were taken away by that flood. It's going to happen again, brethren. And just as it was before the flood, it's going to be like this again before he comes. And we need to be ready and in that ark, the ark, which is, of course, Jesus and pictures of church. Remember that on the ark there was only one window, and there's only one way we are to see this world, and it's through the scriptures and to discern the signs of the times. So Jesus has said to us in advance. And that's brilliant, isn't it? He's given us his word. He wants us to be ready. So we come to verse 42. Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." So we don't know what hour. So we're to watch. We're to be vigilant. We're to watch for all those things which Jesus said shall come to pass, leading up to his second coming and to the end of the world. So, let's just briefly look at those things that Jesus said will come to pass. Now, this is very interesting. In Matthew 24, verses 4 to 8, Jesus speaks of the beginning of sorrows. Notice that, the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows there is also translated travail. The beginning of sorrows is as the beginning of travail or pain upon a woman with child. So as pangs or pains come upon a woman in travail, becoming more frequent and intense as she nears the time of her delivery, so these things that Jesus spoke of shall come to pass in like manner. They will come, and then ease, and then come again, slightly more intense, and then go, and it will become more frequent and more intense till Jesus comes. And what Jesus describes in verses 4 to 5 is the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pangs. Let's just read verses 4 to 5. He tells us what the beginning of sorrows are. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We're not just talking here about deception outside of the church, but of course also deception in the church. And deception, as we have seen before, is very subtle. It can be clear. Some things you just know that's a dangerous thing that somebody said, or it's not true. We think of what's taught in the Jehovah's Witnesses, and we should love them and want them to know the truth about Jesus. But we must note the things that are wrong. They deny, for instance, that Jesus is God. But we know from the scriptures that he is God. But you see, things like this is the obvious. It gets more subtle when we come into the church. We think of the parable of the tares of the field. Deception, brethren, is part of the beginning of sorrows. And we need to guard ourselves against that. How? Knowing the scriptures. As I said at the beginning, Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So they received what was said, and then they checked it out to see that it really is what the scriptures say. And that's fantastic, because the Holy Spirit will guide us. But deception here is part of that beginning of sorrows, and we see that, don't we, in the world today. And then in verses 6 to 7, Jesus says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And that word there, nation, means ethnically. These are the sort of wars and rumours of wars that we see today. And of course, kingdom against kingdom. We think the obvious, as we know, Russia and Ukraine. The beginning of sorrows. We think of the wars in Iraq. We think of the wars and rumours of wars. This, brethren, is part of the beginning of sorrows. It's exciting on the one hand, because we know Jesus is coming. But I just want you to note there what Jesus says. He says, "See that you be not troubled." We've got his authority for that. When things seem to escalate or they escalate, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then verse 7, Jesus says, and there shall be famines. And of course we've seen that, and there are famines in the world. These are the beginning of sorrows. And then in verse 7, Jesus also says there shall be pestilences and earthquakes. So they too are part of the beginning of sorrows. Now, of course, Jesus says at the end there that these things will be in divers places. And I remember quite a few years ago, I was at home and it was quite late and I was in the front room and I was sitting at the on the sofa. And as I stood up, I thought I was going dizzy. Everything shook. And then it stopped, and everything in the room that was hanging on the walls was rocking together in unison. I couldn't believe what I saw. And my mind went immediately to what Jesus said, that these things will be in divers places. It was a tremor. Of course, it was nothing like the suffer that we see abroad. But there it was, a signal. The beginning of sorrows. So these are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pangs, as upon a woman with child. And then continuing on in Matthew 24, we read in verses 9 to 12, the Lord then used to speak of persecution in verse 9, offence, betrayal and hatred in verse 10, false prophets and deception in verse 11. And in verse 12, we read of iniquity abounding and the love of many waxing cold. And Jesus tells us all these things shall come to pass. And we are most certainly seeing these things. Persecution. It's becoming more and more risky to preach publicly. And we can expect that. Jesus said, ultimately we'll suffer persecution, but blessed are those that suffer for righteousness' sake. And in a way, because we haven't experienced violent persecution, it's sort of a little bit out there, isn't it? It's, you know about it, but when we're really faced with it, this is going to mean so much, what Jesus has said to us here. And it's good to have it in our hearts and minds. We read of offence and betrayal and hatred. We read, you think about offence, how often people take offence now and cause offence. Offence. But then Jesus says this in verses 13 to 14. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. That's exciting. This gospel of the kingdom is going to go out. Now, just before we come to the parable, I want to just bring your attention to one other thing. Jesus also spoke of something specific that is to come to pass. And he wants us to understand it. He spoke in verses 15 to 22 of the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now there is some wonderful insights on that when you go into the book of Daniel and you read, especially Daniel chapter 11, where we read very detailed prophecy of things that came to pass during after the division of the ancient Greek Empire. We read of, for instance, Antiochus Epiphanes. But in chapter 11 of Daniel, as you're reading through it, you read of Antiochus Epiphanes, but then when you get to verse 36, it jumps forward to this man of sin, who was foreshadowed by Antiochus Epiphanes. And what Jesus was saying is, remember that abomination of desolation when you see it come to pass. He was taking one thing that's happened in history to explain something that's going to happen. To understand what will happen, we have to first understand what has happened. And we see that in the book of Daniel. And if we had time, we could look at that. But I'll just bring your attention to it. So, Jesus also speaks of something else there in Matthew chapter 24. He speaks, of course, of great tribulation. And Daniel tells us, or the angel speaking to Daniel, tells us what that is in chapter 12, verse 1. And I want you to note what it says. That there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. What took place in 70 AD was bad. World War I and II were worse. And what's to come is even worse still. And this great tribulation is the birth pang, just before the delivery. It is the climax of it. And Jesus wants us to understand these things. And they are some of the most exciting topics to investigate and discover in the scriptures when we get into the Old Testament prophecies and, of course, being explained in the New. So, brethren, we're to watch. We're to be vigilant. We don't know what hour our Lord does come. Therefore, we're to watch for these things. So, what will happen first when Jesus comes? Well, we know this, brethren. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the first thing that's going to happen, the Lord will descend to the clouds and his church will be caught up to meet him in the air. But we don't know the day or the hour. But we know when it's getting close because of the things that we see. What we see now, I believe, is the beginning of sorrows. There are certain things that have got to happen yet, but we must hold in our minds that we don't know the day and the hour. So we're to watch. We're to watch. And so, brethren, verse 43 of Matthew 24, I'd like to come to the parable. And this is what I believe it means. We'll just take a few notes first on what the parable actually says. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not suffered his house to be broken up. So we read of the good man of the house. Now this noun, good man, it doesn't mean the man is good. It's also translated as master. He's the master, the householder, the master of the house. And the text says that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. Now here, a watch is a time of the night in which someone keeps watch. And there are four watches of the night. And since Jesus said in John 11:9, the 12 hours in a day, there must be 12 hours in a night. And so the four watches of the night are likely to be 3 hours each. So we see here that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. The good man would have watched. He'd have been vigilant. He wouldn't have suffered his house to have been broken up. Now this word broken up in the Greek is dieruso, and it comes from two Greek words, dia, which means through, and eruso, which means dig. Literally means to dig through, such as to dig through a house. And it's translated breakthrough, to be broken up, and to be broken through. For example, thieves break through and steal. So if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Then Jesus, accordingly to the parable he's just spoken, he says this in verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So we're to be ready. There's two things here. We're to watch and we're to be ready. We're to be ready when the Lord comes and we're caught up in the clouds to meet him in the air. So now, brethren, let's understand the parable. Again, verse 43. "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." So, question, who is the good man or the master of the house? As we've said, the noun good man doesn't necessarily mean, or doesn't mean, the man is good. He's the master of the house, the householder. I just want to firstly understand who the good man isn't. Firstly, the good man in this parable, is not Christ. Christ is the one who comes in such an hour as we think not. Now, secondly, and I've read this in some commentaries, and in all genuineness, I don't think it's right. Some have said, and I don't think it is, that the good man is the church. I don't think it's the church. Why? Because the church is to watch and be ready when Jesus comes. The church is not occupied with preventing the Lord coming and breaking into the house. Doesn't make sense to say it's the church. So who is the good man or the master of the house? And I'm pretty sure that the master or the good man of the house is the devil. Let me look at this. In this parable, we're speaking, the good man or the master is the devil. We read in Mark chapter 3, verses 24 to 27, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." The good man here, brethren, in this parable is Satan, and the house is his kingdom. And this makes complete sense when we read the parable. What is the devil's kingdom? It is this present evil world. All that dwell upon the earth, earth dwellers rather than heavenly. The inhabitants of the earth. That word house is also used of a family. And the devil, of course, is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we read of the good man or the master of the house in 2 Corinthians 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the devil was the good man or the master of the house. He is the God with a small g of this world. And in them that are lost, we read that the devil has blinded the minds of them which don't believe. And we read, don't we, in Revelation 12:9, that it's Satan that deceives the whole world. And in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul tells us that the devil has blinded the minds of them which don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the gospel is hid to them that are lost. In them the devil has blinded the minds of them which don't believe. He's the master of the house, the good man of the house, in that parable. So the devil's kingdom is this present evil world. And presently, all the kingdoms of the world are delivered to the devil. We know, of course, that God is the ultimate one. We know that he gives and takes away. But the devil, for a time, in our present time, has these kingdoms. We read in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, we read, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And of course we know, don't we, that Jesus resisted the devil. For we read in verse 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the devil's kingdom is this present evil world. And we see a vision of all these kingdoms of the world as delivered to the devil in Revelation 12, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Here we read of a great red dragon, which in verse 9 is the devil. And the description of this great red dragon is the same as the beast in Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2, which is the kings and kingdoms of the earth, which are spoken of also as 4 beasts in Daniel 7. And ultimately, the man of sin to come will receive these kingdoms, the son of perdition, and the devil will give him power, and we read in Revelation 13 that all the world shall worship the devil. And of course, we must remember that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And in Revelation 13:8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship the beast, which is the man of sin. So the good man or the master is the devil, and the house is his kingdom, this present evil world. So when we read the parable, so if the devil, the god of this world, had known and watched the thief would come, he would have watched and would not suffer his kingdom to be broken up. Makes sense. He doesn't want Jesus to come. So, who is the thief? Well, in this parable, the thief is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who shall come as a thief. And when he comes, his church shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and Satan's kingdom shall be broken up. But notice something very important here. Jesus is not a thief. The thief symbolizes in the parable, Jesus, but Jesus isn't a thief. He comes as a thief. He comes like a thief. And we know who the thief is. Who is a thief? John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil is a thief. And we see example of the devil as a thief in Matthew 13:19. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The devil steals it, catches it away out of the heart of someone who's heard and not understood. And very interestingly, that word catcheth away, use of the devil there, catching away the word that was sown in the heart, that word is also translated caught up in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout and his church is caught up to meet him in the air. The Lord comes as a thief, but he isn't a thief. The devil was a thief. So whereas the devil was a thief, Jesus shall come as a thief and outsmart the devil at his own game. And so we don't know when the Lord will come as a thief, but we need to be ready, and neither does the devil. So know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So if the devil, the god of this world, knew in what watch Jesus shall come as a thief, the devil would watch and would not suffer his kingdom to be broken up. As we've said, there are four watches of the night, and the devil doesn't know in what watch Jesus shall come as a thief and break up his kingdom. Jesus may come in the second watch, he may come in the third watch. But we know this, don't we, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And what is the night? It is what Isaiah prophesied of in Isaiah 60 verse 2. The darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. The night to come shall be as in the days that were before the flood, when God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is the night to come, and it's already getting dark, brethren. So when the Lord comes as a thief, his church shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and Satan's kingdom shall be broken up. The wrath of God shall be poured out upon the earth. So when the church is caught up, the wrath of God will come upon the earth. And we read this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 4, if you'd like to turn with me, brethren. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 4. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So we know that the day of the Lord so cometh is a thief in the night, at a time when this world is desperately wicked. It'll be night, when that man of sin shall have arisen, the son of perdition, Satan's son. It'll be night. And Paul says there, when they shall say peace and safety, there'll be a false peace. It'll be the peace of this world. And then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This is that ultimate birth pang. So Satan doesn't know in what watch the Lord shall come. And when he comes, Satan's kingdom shall be broken up. the wrath of God will be poured out. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So let's conclude. We don't know what hour our Lord comes, so we're to watch. And he comes in such an hour as we don't think, so we're to be ready. We are to be as the five wise virgins which took oil in their vessels with their lamps. It is by the eyes of our understanding, being enlightened by the Holy Spirit to the Word of God, that we discern the signs of the times and watch for those things that Jesus said shall come to pass. As time goes by, the foolish virgins will understand less, and the wise virgins will understand more. Let us be ready and watch, brethren. Let us understand what the scriptures teach. And we've, of course, only touched on these things tonight. So I want to close with what our Lord says in Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We don't know what hour our Lord comes, so we are to watch. And he comes in such an hour as we don't think, so we are to be ready. Amen. Thank you.